This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past several times, I've been studying with you a lesson which I've entitled, Treasure the Things You Should Treasure. I have based this upon the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where Paul prayed to the end that they may approve the things that are excellent, which means simply that each one of us ought to place value where value belongs, that we ought to treasure that which really should be treasured. Now I want to call your attention to the fact, after we have looked at the various points that we should treasure our lives, we should treasure our minds, we should treasure our bodies, our neighbor, our families, our conscience, and we should treasure God's truth, the Bible. Now let me call your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, in which we find teaching which makes clear that we should treasure Christ's church. Here Paul says, Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it with the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now notice carefully, Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself up for it. Now that simply means that Christ died on the cross in order that he might purchase the church. And notice carefully also in the same book of Ephesians, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and brake down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now notice, the one body he's talking about is the church. In the end of chapter 1, he has said, And he put all things in subjection under his, that is, under Christ's feet, and gave him, that is, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And in chapter 4, he makes clear there is one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and one body. Now he's identified the bodies being the church, and Christ is the head of it, and he makes clear that God brings all men, that is, all men who will obey the truth, into this one body. That's where one is born again, where he is created anew, that he might create in himself of the two one new man. And so you see how this fits in harmony with the words of Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when in speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, he said, Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Now you cannot be saved without the blood of Christ. The Bible makes clear, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Now, of course, there was a great deal of blood shed during the Old Testament period, but it was the blood of animals. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible makes clear that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The blood of Christ, and only the blood of Christ, can take away sin. But all of his blood went into the purchase of one thing, namely the church. And if you are to come under the saving power of the blood of Christ, you must be in what he purchased with it, namely his blood. But our time's gone for today. Let me tell you how glad I am that you've been with us. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.